Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace, that you blessed us and kept us during this year. And now here we are to celebrate again the birth of the Christ child. Many have not been able to see this day because they have gone home to be with you during 2018. But here we are, not because we have been all that good, but because of your abundance of love for us and for your grace. And so we thank you as we gather here tonight in this place. We thank you for all who have come so that we can sing with the angel that God loves us and that God will save us. And so now speak, Lord God, for we are listening. Speak a word of hope, a word of love, a word of joy, and a word of peace. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And it's good to be here. It means that if we're here, we are alive and well. Or we're at least alive. We may not be all that well, but we're alive. And so it's good to be among the living. I haven't been among the dead, but I don't want to right now. So thanks be to God for life. And I am glad you're here, because we have decorated and got all this together, and we wouldn't want to have to do it all by just to enjoy it by ourselves. And we love seeing you because we're weary. If we look weary, we're weary. We have been at this for a couple of weeks. Hopefully we'll make it to YouTube. But one way or the other, we're here. So my sermon title today is Every Heart Can Be a Manger. We read in John 1:14 these words. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Max Lucado writes in his book, Because of Bethlehem, Love is Born, Hope is Here. He asked this question first. He says, why did God go so far? That is, to become one of us. And then he gives one of the reasons. He said, chief reason is this. God wants us to know that he gets us. He continues, through a scandalous pregnancy, an imposed census, an untimely trip, and an overcrowded inn, God triumphed in Mary's story. God became one of us, and because of this, he knows us. God took on your face in hope that you would see his face. So I hope tonight that you will see his face. See it in your own way. If the king was willing to enter the world of animals and shepherds and swaddling clothes, don't you think he's willing to enter yours? Asks Max. The story of Christmas is the story of God's relentless love for us. That's good news, friends. Yes, we might question God's actions, decisions, or declarations. But because of Bethlehem, we can never question God's unquenchable affection for us. Therefore, if God is willing to be born in a barnyard, expect God to be at work anywhere and everywhere. No place is too common for God. No person is too hardened. No distance is too far. There is no limit to God's love. For a moment, let us revisit the beginning of this timeless love story of God for humanity. And this is a great love story. This timeless love story would begin with the prophets. It began, we hear the prophets proclaiming that God would send a Messiah, a Savior for his people. We heard it being read in the Isaiah words that was proclaimed at the beginning. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onwards and even forevermore. And how would this be accomplished? The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord. The Lord's determination. And then we read in the gospel narrative we heard today, just now being read, the angel said to her, this is before that peace, angel, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive and in your womb and you will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him to the throne of his ancestor David. And so the prophets had prophesied for hundreds of years that the Messiah would come, one who would come to save his people. And then when we get to the gospel stories, we see the fulfillment of that gospel. Continue that we see the angels understanding it, the wise men understanding it, the shepherds understand it because they had been waiting. And so during the season of Advent for us, which goes for 4 weeks, we wait and anticipate again to remember this great story of God pursuing us through love. God running after us. God continues to do that even when we turn away from God. The birth of Jesus was not happenstance or coincidence or accident. No matter what anyone tell you, it was planned. Planned from the very beginning. It was and is a love story better than we have ever seen. Friends, in the manger, God loves you and God loves me. And through the cross, God saves us. God would send his son into the world for one reason only, to die for us, because he loves us so much. Christmas invites us to believe the wildest of promises, that God became one of us so that we could become one with him. God would become one of us, wrap himself up in little baby clothes, so that we would become one with God. Lucado writes, listen to God whispers. No mess turns me back. No smell turns me off. I live in a life like yours. Therefore, every heart can be a manger to receive him. The question then for us is, how can we make our heart a manger? How can we make our heart that place where God will live no matter what we're doing, where we are, how we're feeling? And friends, do you know that God shows up in prison cells? God shows up in bars and nightclubs. God shows up everywhere, anywhere his people are in need. God shows up. You know how many folks have seen God, accepted Christ in prisons, who have been strung out on drugs, and God shows up in a drug-infested place and receives them in his arms? God is like that. Will not turn away from us. It's a love story. Many of us as human beings, we have very short love stories. Short marriages, short love stories. We get upset because the coffee is too cold and we get divorced. God doesn't do that. We don't like the eggs the way it is and we get separated. But God doesn't do that. God stays with us. You see, love is always a gift. And when it is offered, we have the option to decline it or accept it. Two, we receive love when it's offered, if it's offered, but it requires some kind of vulnerability. We have to open up to receive that love. We have to let ourselves be loved. Even though God's love is unceasing, we sometimes go through season when we either doubt it or we struggle to let God love us. Perhaps our life resembles a stable, crude in spots, smelly in others, and we doubt God could love us in that condition. Or we shrink back from letting God love us. But I have a pastor friend who always tells us when we're getting a little bit negative or we're getting jaded, you know, we pastors, that happens to us too, get overwhelmed. Our prayers don't get answered the way we want it to be answered. We lose a loved one, happens to us too. We get kind of broken and we want to give up. He would always have this little saying, he says, I love you, and we don't want to talk to him because he's always super positive. And we says, I don't want to be positive today. And he would say, you have to talk to me because I love you and you could do nothing about it. There is nothing you could do about my love. I love you anyhow. God loves you and he loves me. And guess what, friends? You can do nothing about it. You may dislike God. You may not want to hear from God. No matter what, God created us and God loves you. And you can do nothing about it. And God will continue to pursue you because God loves you. And I thank God that God continues to pursue me. I thank God for that. That is the Christmas story. The Christmas story tells us that we have a God who would do anything and everything for us. And I think that's hopeful news. We live in a world full of pain and hurt. We live in a world full of disappointment. We live in a world full of fear. Sickness and sadness. Yet in the midst of that world, we live in a world of goodness and joy. And the presence of the Spirit and good friends and relatives and those who care about us. We live in a world, and I like to tell folks who get so negative and so and constantly finding what is wrong in the world, they should look around and see what is good in the world. Because there is a lot of good in the world. You and I are good. We're not perfect, but we're good. And he's striving to be good. That's why we're here. Right? And here's the deal. God must have seen something in us because God loves us so much that he would send his son to die for us. And I've come to find out that even when you curse God and get angry with God, God is big enough to take that in. Isn't that a wonderful God? There's nothing we can say to hurt God. Because he has his arms wide open. That's what that story tells us, the story tonight. It's not about a baby in a manger, because the baby grew up to be a man who was going to be crucified for us. It's just a demonstration of God showing us just as a mother could love her baby, or a father could love a baby, he loves us just as much. And more.
we have to do is to open our hearts and receive. And while we open our hearts and receive, we're receiving like a baby in a manger. Receive God openly. Take him in and then he'll take you in. And will we get answers to everything we ask for? No. Will we understand the mystery of everything God does? No. But we walk by faith, trusting him. And so this Christmas Eve, I want to remind you.